is CBS Ion World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, my veteran diplomat for years with the Secretary of State, traveling as his senior advisor to all parts of the globe, including mainland China. And we come now to a revelation in these last days. CIA Director William Burns visited Beijing last month, his first trip to China since becoming the head of the intelligence agency. Burns went to Beijing, writes NBC, to meet with his Chinese counterparts, quote, to emphasize the importance of maintaining open lines of communication and intelligence channels, end quote. I will turn from there to an incident that didn't take place last month, took place last week. In the Taiwan Strait, a U.S. warship and a Canadian warship, freedom of navigation, passage through the straits, and they were deliberately provoked and threatened by a Chinese warship. This incident was not only not apologized for by the Beijing government, but also was said to be what will happen again and again if the U.S. and its allies sail the Taiwan Strait or anywhere near the South China Sea. So it's two worlds. We have a world that invites Bill Burns to come secretly, or in some way not out in the open, to talk about maintaining open lines of communication. And then we have falsehoods from Beijing about a provocation in the Taiwan Strait. Mary, is this the world of the Chinese Communist Party? They're of two minds, and you get to choose one depending upon your what day it is. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the CCP wants Western nations, and the United States in particular, to talk on their terms and to simply accept what are frankly preposterous claims of aggression, Western aggression in international waterways. If one would ask a Chinese official, when is it in the last half century that transit through international waterways became quote unquote provocative, they really wouldn't have an answer. And I find it completely befuddling why U.S. officials don't ask that question and ask it publicly. We can be diplomatic in our language, but strong in our messaging. Those two things are not impossible. they can peacefully coexist. And you know, if we are afraid to upset China, then China will simply continue its march toward what is a very clear goal, which is to kick us out of Asia and to kick us out of the Middle East and to kick us economically and to dominate Central and Latin America, our own hemisphere. Their goals are very clear. But look at what happened in Singapore at the Shangri-La dialogue. The Russian, the Chinese defense minister said crazy things, openly threatening us. And our defense secretary is very, you know, almost appeasing in his reply. We don't need to behave this way. And it's actually dangerous for us to behave this way. We cannot be afraid of upsetting China by speaking truth. That truth is on our side here. And our partners and allies need us to do that because they can't do it alone. We're the most powerful nation on earth for now. And we need to lead the way, and we need to make clear that there will be consequences if China engages in aggressive behavior that frankly could get people killed or start a conflict.
I'm keen to talk about Bill Burns' secret trip to Beijing last month, we're told. The Financial Times uses an artful word. It calls it a clandestine visit by one of President Joe Biden's most trusted officials. It also emphasizes, the Financial Times was first to report this several days past, it also emphasizes that Mr. Burns did not have, quote, any diplomatic engagements and only met intelligence officials. Translate that, Mary.
That's kind of a fudge, John. First of all, the Chinese like it when we have quote unquote private talks because it means that if we dress them down, it's not done publicly. So that's to China's benefit. Secondly, why is it that Bill Burns is getting access in China to high officials when our Secretary of State and our President are not? And thirdly, what does it say that our chief intelligence, one of our chief intelligence officers, is actually doing diplomacy? Is that his job? Why is the Secretary of State not doing that? Why is he more trusted than the Secretary of State, who's one of the highest ranking officials in the United States, ranks way above the CIA director? I mean, I find that concerning because it suggests to me a diversion of responsibilities and taking time away from what should be his focus, which is gathering intelligence, sorting through it, and presenting it to decision makers. That's actually the job of intelligence agencies, not diplomacy. And it doesn't matter if you say, well, it wasn't a diplomatic trip. Sorry, that's balderdash. Of course, it's a diplomatic trip, because anything that he says to the MSS is going, and the chief of the MSS, or wherever else he met with, by the way, we don't know, we just have to trust them. Wherever else they met with, that message is going straight up to Xi Jinping. So it is a diplomatic trip. It's a confusion of function. And I think it is a kowtow to Beijing because it was kept private and on their terms.
The puzzle here is, why is it that the Biden administration is traveling to Beijing? Why is it that we are, or appearances, I'm way outside here, I just read the newspapers. Why is it that we appear to be beseeching the emperor in Beijing? Is that useful, Mary, for what we need to happen, which is broker a peace in Ukraine with your ally Russia and stop persecuting your neighbors and your population? That's a simple message. Why are we going there to deliver it?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. It could be that the Biden administration has some great grand plan to have carrots on one side publicly and sticks in private, but we don't know that. That's unclear. The public messaging is a messaging of weakness. And I suspect, John, that there are hawks in the administration, like Kurt Campbell at the National Security Council, who want to be much tougher. But it's bureaucratic infighting in Washington and a lack of courage on behalf of the president. He doesn't want to expend the political capital to be tough in public on China. He would rather just smooth everything over and let it be the next guy's problem. Again, I don't think we have that kind of time. I think that China has made its designs on its own people. Look at what they did in Hong Kong, which was, by the way, a nominally democratic polity. I mean, China came in and crushed a nominally democratic polity. That's what they want to do to the rest of the region and ultimately what they'd like to do to us. So it's not going to do us any good to play nice and ask for talks. What is the goal of talks? What is the point of President Biden speaking to Xi Jinping? Why are we asking for that? What's the goal? Do we think they want to cooperate with us? What indication do we have that that is true from their behavior? We have no indication of that. In fact, we have opposite signals that they don't want to talk, their behavior is aggressive, and they're going to push until they can to see how much they can get away with. So if I were in that chair, yes, ask for talks on the nuclear issue and to avoid war. We should always say that. We should always be open to that. Try to get a red phone going between the two capitals. But otherwise, until they prove that their behavior is going to change, there's really nothing to discuss.
30 seconds, Mary. Is Beijing ready for Russia to lose the conflict in Ukraine? Are they preparing for that? And what is your measure? 30 seconds.
Well, if Russia loses, then China has much more power in the vast reaches of Central Asia, which is a key transportation route and strategically important for them, as the old Silk Road was. So that's kind of a win for them. Secondly, I think it gives China a breather and maybe an opportunity to move into the eastern parts of Russia that it covets.
Right.
And thirdly, it wraps up the U.S. and Europe trying to figure out how to deal with a Russia in chaos, and it gives China more of an opportunity to make mischief or worse in their neighborhood. Mary, so I think they benefit from it.
Mary Kissel.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.